Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, Samson Folk, and I'll be detailing for you the Raptors' latest win, 117-109, in overtime against Miami Heat. First, the sponsorship. This podcast is sponsored by Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger's Personal Injury Lawyers. Thanks for sponsoring the pod. So, the first quarter, how to break it down. I guess defensively, worrisome for the Raptors. Offensively, a little bit worrisome for the Raptors because when Marc Gasol was in the game and the Heat decided to zone up, that went pretty well for the Raptors. Marc Gasol is, he doesn't rebound like Serge. He doesn't do a lot of things like Serge, but he does pass in and out of a zone better than Serge does. So the Raptors didn't have much of a problem dissecting the zone defense that the Heat brought out. I saw somebody say that the Heat have had the third-ranked defense since March. And I guess that makes sense. But also not really. Like, they have a lot of rangy guys who bounce around a lot on defense, so a zone makes sense, especially if they can gang up on the big men when they get the ball in the middle, which they do, but Marc Gasol kind of eviscerated that. When Serge Ibaka was in the game, it's a bit tougher to dissect, and actually that was something that changed throughout the game, was instead of having Serge be the man in the middle against the zone and having OG playoff, they actually had OG operate in the middle because he was passing pretty well, it actually seemed. And they had Serge come and cut around OG. But in the first quarter, the Raptors, they started out okay. Even though they were missing some good shots, it seemed like Danny Green was the only guy who was hitting early on. And Pascal was doing his thing. Like, he went in the post against Bam Adebayo. He also hit a triple. Stuff like that. Just good to see from Pascal. And on defense, it was worrisome because I did the preview for this game and I suggested that it was likely that guys like James Johnson were going to have a really good game. I'm not shocked that he ended up having like a very good game. I think he had 18 points, like 5 assists. And mostly that was because he was able to get penetration off the pick and roll really easily. And the Raptors couldn't gang up on him. And as we know, watching James Johnson for 3 years, I think it was, as a Raptor, maybe even 4, he's extremely strong. So if he's being guarded one-on-one, he will be able to muscle to the rim unless he's, you know, unless you gang up on him. And Goran Dragic, well, pretty much all the Heat guards were really, they did a really good job of sealing the guy who was defending them on the pick and roll. So they were attacking downhill all the time. And they're pretty ruthless. And especially when Hassan Whiteside came into the game and opened up a different avenue for the lobs, the Raptors didn't really have any recourse to guard the pick and roll because there's a lot of players who Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet guard really well against. A lot of guys like that. But when you play against like bigger guys like Goran Dragic and James Johnson, Deion Waiters, if these types, Justin Winslow even runs a pick and roll for the Heat, when these guys have, you know, possessions in the pick and roll where they start going downhill, it's actually tough. It's not some sort of like, I guess, urban myth where it's like nobody has ever beaten Kyle Lowry in a post-up. Kyle Lowry's a great post-up defender. That's one of the things that goes against the narrative that, you know, height is super important in defense, which it is, but also Kyle Lowry is a great defender. But in that specific play type, he's getting sealed all the time on the pick and roll, as is Fred, and they're like it's just the Heater going downhill against Raptors defense. So that resulted in some less than great defense from the Raptors, and they didn't have a lot of trouble outside of that. It's just the NBA is built on the pick and roll right now, and if you get, I guess, NBA players going downhill towards the defense, that's really tough to stop. And I guess apologies if you guys hear a mariachi band. It's because there actually is a mariachi band like two doors down from me. Maybe they're on an intermission right now, so I'll try and sneak this podcast in. But yeah, if you hear mariachi band, that's what it is. Second quarter saw, I guess, a confirmation of what I wrote about in the preview again. Is Nurse going to dedicate himself to this game? Or is this game just kind of not that important? Turned out that this game was very important to him and to the Raptors at large, because obviously they have their eyes set towards the finals and they want home court advantage if they go to seven games with the Warriors. They secured that by winning this game against Miami. Great. That's terrific. And I guess the hint that we could wean from is that not only did, at the end of the game, Kyle Lowry play 42, Kawhi played 38, like, things like that. But Jeremy Lin didn't get any second quarter minutes, and Norman Powell was put in a position where he wasn't creating at all. Those are two big factors. So it's, if the Raptors are trying to win a game, which they were today, they wanted this game, evidently. If they're trying to win a game, Kyle Lowry is going to take up a chunk of minutes at the one, and Fred VanVleet is going to play more minutes at the two. That's what happened in this one. And what that means is, if Kyle gets more minutes at the one, Fred VanVleet gets more minutes at the two, that means that if Norman Powell even gets minutes, that means that he'll be playing off ball instead of in a 1-2 creation position. That's why Norman Powell was so awesome today. Like, he was very good. He was a bright spot. I think he tied Pascal for the team lead in points scored. I think they were both at 23. And that's music to everyone's ears, because this seems to be an indicator of, everybody knows he's kind of famous for it, but like, playoff Norm. The guy who, in the Indiana series, didn't shoot it well, but his defense was so tenacious on Paul George, and he had that steal that everyone knows in Game 5. It's just etched in the memory of all Raptors fans of the past, you know, 5-6 years. And then against the Milwaukee Bucks, when he was inserted in the starting lineup to help the Raptors, I guess, dissect the heavy trap defense that the Bucks were playing against Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan at the time, he killed it. He made all his corner three-point shots. When he had a lane to the rim, he took it. And that's kind of what we saw tonight. I think he finished 7 of 7 with 4 three-pointers. Like, he didn't miss a shot. He was clinical when he was attacking. And it was largely because of the Raptors. They put him in a great position. They put him in a position, the one that OG Anunoby had all of last year. Is like, you wait in the corner. You have to create every once in a while, but you'll be creating against a shifting defense. And it's a lot easier to create against a shifting defense, obviously, not a set one, and attack a shifting defense and take open shots. That's what Norman Powell got to do today, and it was awesome to see. And we got to see that kind of start out in the second quarter. Huge up and down game for Serge Ibaka in this one. He had like a 4-minute stint that was just a travesty. He was not very good, and the Raptors offense completely faltered with him in. Then he had like 2 4-minute stints after that where he was just a monster, like an actual monster. Like, he was massive playing defense around the rim. And yeah, so you will see that, like, I think the worst plus minus on the team was OG and Serge. And that's largely because the Heat play a really tough zone. OG and Serge are not really designed as players to be zone busters, especially if you play them together. OG didn't make a shot all night. Serge did not stretch the floor. He did his work around the rim, if he was doing work, and so struggled there. But I just want to highlight that Serge, even though he played less than 20 minutes, he had like 12 and 5. He played like for little pockets of time. He played really tenacious defense. So I just wanted to highlight that. And Danny Green was awesome. He had a lot of shot making early on. The type of shot making that you laugh at kind of, because he, like, he had a, it seemed like he missed a lot of shots in, like, the third and the early fourth. And then I looked at the stat sheet at the end of the game. He was 5 of 9 from 3, which by all accounts is a terrific night from downtown. And it's like he had 21 points. He plays awesome defense. How did we get this guy as a throw-in? I know it's like an old joke, and I hate when people use it to get retweets and likes, like the, oh, he was a throw-in. Just miss me with that. But as far as like right now, speaking with like what Danny Green is doing as a player for the Raptors, my God, man, we've never, ever had a player like him. And he's, again, Dave Dufour and I talked about it. Dave Dufour said he's one of the best defensive guards of the past 25 years. He's so good on defense. And also, he's legitimately been a top five threat league-wide from downtown this year. We got lucky. Or Masai Ujiri, there with malice of forethought, ripped the throat, the heart out of the San Antonio Spurs and took Danny Green for his, like, for his own. I'm not sure which it is. What happened like later on when the defense had to, the reason why the defense became better for the Raptors, I sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but the Raptors keep doing the same thing every game, so I guess it's a bit redundant on these reaction podcasts. They do the same thing every game. The pick and roll defense early on is a bit more lax. Then they'll double up on the side, they'll play a lot more aggressive later on in the game, and then they'll start playing really good defense. It's not particularly shocking, it's just something that happens. In this one, that's what they did. Like, they also played a great zone defense, by the way. The Raptors threw a zone at them. They did really well. Really fun to watch. Putting Kyle Lowry in a zone defense is one of the most rewarding things you can do if you're a fan of Kyle Lowry. He's a monster. He cheats. He tricks. He's tenacious. And he just gets in everybody's face. You know when you play, like, pickup basketball and you have, like, a fast break? I'll tell you, I'm this guy. But you have a fast break, and it's like a two-on-one, and the one guy will try and like fake towards you so that he'll try and goad the pass out of you, but he'll actually remain where he is. Like, Kyle Lowry's always doing that kind of stuff. He's always trying to cheat. He's always trying to like goad players into passes. He's always trying to make them wonder what he's going to do as a defender. It's, you have to play it very sharp. You have to be really good at it to play it right, but Kyle Lowry does it. Fred VanVleet is also like that. And then having, like, Pascal in there, one of Serge or Marc Gasol, who are both great defenders, or at the very least, smart defenders. Super rewarding to watch that zone defense do work. And then, yes, when it came down to it and they had to guard in the pick and roll, they played super aggressive, and they forced the ball out of the ball handler's hand. And then they would just recover. They played scram. So, yeah, anytime the Raptors actually sit down and say, okay, we're going to defend the pick and roll now, they do it well. We've seen this like six games running. They play lazy pick and roll defense. They get scored on a bunch. And then they say, okay, well, we're going to play a more aggressive brand of defense. Then they do it. And then they play really good defense. And then the games are always close at the end because they just, they're goofs. I mean, the Heat really wanted this game. That much was evident. And having Kyle Lowry shoot like 0 for 5 from 3, and I think he's 1 of 8 from the 4. Same with, like, Fred VanVleet, 1 of 8 from the 4, 1 of 6 from 3. Not super ideal, but that's okay. The Raptors' point of attack hasn't been that important as far as scoring points this year. Like, the point guards have been movers and shakers so far this year. Like, it's great when, like, when Kyle Lowry put up, like, 24 points the last time they played the Heat, that was, like, the best thing that has ever happened because, like, Kyle Lowry used to average 20 points per game, like, 2 years ago. And now he averages just so much less than that. And, like, when he eclipses 10 points, everyone's like, ooh, yeah, he did it. Because he's just such a playmaker now. Like, he's just facilitating. He's the orchestrator of the offense. And, you know, apparently his shot isn't that important as far as, like, creating his own looks. It's important that he hits the triples that fall into his lap, which is disappointing when he doesn't make that. But that's pretty much his role on this offense, besides, like, making everything else work. As a scorer, hit your open shots, Kyle Lowry, and then drive every once in a while, that type of thing. Maybe we'll see more of it in the playoffs. But, yeah, that's how the Raptors got back into it. after the Heat took the lead into halftime. Like, the Heat were making, they were doing really well as far as shot making goes. Like, Justice Winslow was hitting shots. James Johnson, like, Dwayne Wade played an awesome game. An awesome, awesome game. Bam Adebayo was, like, an absolute, he's such a bother on the glass, man. Because, like, there, I guess we'll just skip to the end of the game. Since everybody, we're getting to the end of the regular season. The Raptors won this game, and there's not that much to be weaned from this game besides that, yes, the Raptors really wanted to win it. Kyle Lowry played 42 minutes, Kawhi played 38, that type of thing. And that they have home court advantage versus the Warriors, granted, if they make it to the finals. All good news. But the end of the game, Bam Adebayo, when they were crashing for boards, I feel like he had like 8 over-the-back fouls. It just seemed like he had bad positioning a lot of the time. Like, he was, like, 4 steps out of the paint, and then he would just run in and crash into the boards, which, if you have a lane, sure, but he didn't have a lane. He was just, like, you could see Marc Gasol complaining, like, to the ref, because he just got elbowed in the back of the head because Bam just comes flying in. Not to mention, Bam was sticking his knee out on a screen that Kyle Lowry ran into. Another thing, Bam was also the guy who injured Fred VanVleet last year. I can't remember if it was the second to last or last game. And then Fred VanVleet was out for the playoffs. Like, and then by the time he came back in the second round, he just wasn't the same player. You just don't want to see it. Like, Bam, chill. You're a good player. You don't need to be a goon like this. And by the way, Miami Heat has the, like, record amount of goons on a team since the bad boy Pistons. Like, Kelly Olynyk, goon. Goran Dragic, goon. Bam Adebayo, goon. James Johnson, little bit goon. Like, way too many goons. I just, no. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see our favorite players playing against that. That's why this game was worrisome. Like, you watch those things happen, and you think to yourself, you're like, oh yeah, this seems like an injury is coming up. Watching the end of that game, it seemed like there might be an injury coming. Danny Green tweaked his ankle. Something like that. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I didn't see it on the replay. I just saw Bam Adebayo just go smash into Kyle Lowry on that last on that last bucket, the one where he didn't get it up in time. And then in overtime, the Raptors, their class just showed through. It was obvious this whole game that the Raptors were the better team than the Heat. Like, it was painfully obvious, and that's why it was so frustrating to watch the Raptors kind of get beaten down by Goran Dragic floaters from 9 feet out and Bam Adebayo tipping the ball 4 times and then somehow James Johnson hitting a triple. Just annoying. Justice Winslow hitting a triple. Dion Waiters hitting a triple. Just annoying basketball to watch in a way. But the Raptors, they passed the ball around really well in overtime. Their class showed through. Pascal, who locked down Dwayne Wade on one of the most important possessions of the game, and also hit the clutch three-pointer that pretty much locked this game up. I tweeted it out, that's a microcosm of his case for most improved player. Is there was so much raw potential last year for Pascal Siakam as far as, like, oh, you can see that he could be an absolute terror on defense. The Raptors unveiled that type of defense on John Wall in the first round last year. Like, Pascal Siakam, the power forward, was John Wall's primary defender last year in the playoffs for, like, 3 games. That's kind of nuts. He's also been Russell Westbrook's primary defender this year. He was, like, the primary defender on Dwayne Wade for a whole possession, which Dwayne Wade was trying desperately to make a game-winning shot. He defended him perfectly. Then, a guy who was historically one of the worst three-point shooters of all time, who is now shooting, like, 38% and probably, like, 46% from the corners, hits, like, a game-sealing triple from the left corner. That's the most improved player. Not to mention that he's a terror in transition. He can score in isolation. He's got a game winner's bag this year. Just tons of stuff. Yeah, the Raptors beat the Heat. No injuries, it looks like. Everybody appears to be healthy. I don't know what more you could ask of in this game. Maybe that they would win easier, yeah. But everything looks good. They're going to close out the season in Minnesota. I'll be doing a mailbag at some point, right as the season ends, before the playoffs start. I'll be doing a mailbag then. The awards for this one, the Mitchell Robinson Award, which is the in-house villain award, obviously goes to Bam Adebayo, and I guess an honorary shout out to James Johnson, who just decides to become a great shooter against the Raptors. He's talking a lot of trash as well. That's the Mitchell Robinson Award. The Reggie Evans Award, I think this is the third time or second time he's won it. But Norm Powell, you come in off the bench, you pour in 23 points in a game that goes to overtime. You shoot 100% from the field, and you just bounce around on defense. Yeah, man, that's the Reggie Evans Award. I don't think Kawhi's won it yet this year, but in my time doing the podcast, he hasn't had one of those signature games, like bust the whole game, work really hard. Like, he hasn't had one of those games yet. The playoffs, I expect it'll be different than like Serge Ibaka, Norman Powell, like those types of, like Danny Green, but Norm Powell wins it today. The top quick reaction comment is from Blormf, BLORMPF. On the plus side, Norm looks like he's playoff ready. Yeah, totally agree. That's why he got the Reggie Evans Award. There are tons of tweets everybody had to take about how this is playoff Norm. And yeah, that's totally the takeaway from it. I wholeheartedly agree. Like I was saying, I have a mailbag coming out. If you want to ask questions for that, you can follow me on Twitter at SAMFOLKK, Sam Folk. And yeah, thanks for listening. Raptors have one more game on the season. They just clinched home court advantage in the finals if they get there. 117-109, they beat the Heat in overtime. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.
The Home Depot's Holiday Gift Center has great gifts for any doer on your list and the best prices of the year just for you. On top-rated brands like DeWalt, Ryobi, Milwaukee, and Makita. Right now, the DeWalt Atomic Drill and Impact Combo Kit is just $149, normally $229. Order online for easy in-store pickup or delivery. The Holiday Gift Center, in-store and online. And Black Friday prices now through December. Gift-giving improved. From the Home Depot, how doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.